This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Smile, the weekend is finally here. Labor Day weekend. And we're going to have a lot more fun this hour, just like we always do. We'll address someone who's mad that I'm mean to Chris. Talk some more about the Chi-Coms. But first, I'm going to answer this. Bronco, the subject of this one is trans terrorism. When do we categorize the Rainbow People as terrorist organizations? Conservatives got labeled as terrorists and domestic threats under Biden without any reason. We have two trans child killers now. We should be playing the same game as them. We're all walking around these mentally unstable people each day and being told we're the weird ones for not pretending they're normal, says his name is Rocky. All right. So let's talk. And by the way, I have no problem at all if there is a tranny group, and there is one, probably more than one in this country, that has decided they are going to group up and commit acts of violence, as labeling that group a domestic terrorist organization. I have no issue with that at all. But if I may, and I don't want to sound soft, but it's Friday, maybe I'm just in a good mood. If I may, let's talk about getting to the root of this problem. The root. What is the root of this problem? First, at home. Parents. Your child. Who runs your house? Them or you? It's an important question to ask. Do you run the house? Does the child run the house? Good parents who run the house, they're probably rolling their eyes and say, well, I do, of course, but that is not every house in this society. Your child, how much time does your child spend alone on the internet? And I'm not saying never let your kid on the internet or never let them on the computer or the iPad or the phone. My kids have iPhones. Both of them have computers. I let them have internet time. Well, obviously we look, we monitor, but I let them have, I'm not saying you have to cut that off completely. You know how many tranny kids there were before there were computers? Zero. None. Not one. A lot of this is an internet phenomenon. Well, if I try to cut them off, they'll get bad. Too bad, so sad. You're the parent. No. What if he gets mad at me? If my kid got mad at me because I told him to shut off the computer, I would take the computer and I would set it in the driveway and I would drive over it in front of him 15 times. There, you mad now? It's my house. I'm the parent. You're the child. I make the call. Period. So that's part of it. Another part of it is this. We brought it up several times before. To be a tranny means you are a money machine for the pharmaceutical industry, for the medical industry, period. You are a money machine because it doesn't work. It's never worked. It never will work. You start lopping off body parts and injecting hormones. You have created somebody who will be medically dependent the rest of their lives. You are essentially a drug dealer, and you've introduced them to the best drug they've ever known, and they will come back and back and back until they're gone. Period. It's a huge problem. Why is it legal for pharmaceutical companies to make tranny drugs? Why is it legal for doctors to prescribe them? Why is it legal for pharmacies to fill those prescriptions? I remember like it was yesterday, American pharmacies were refusing to fill prescriptions for ivermectin, prescriptions doctors had given out. Clearly, this is a thing. Let's talk about that. That's a big thing. This is a social contagion, is what it is. The best way to deal with tranny violence is to stop enabling it and stop pretending as if it's a thing that is real. somebody, child or adult, trying to change the sex they were born with is somebody going through mental health problems, oftentimes spiritual problems, and there's somebody who needs help. But what happens in this country, for a variety of reasons, is the doctors and the shrinks, they essentially blackmail the parents. I've heard it over and over and over again. I've interviewed these parents many, many times before. All of them tell the same tale. You know what all of them are told? Well, either you affirm their new gender or they're going to kill themselves. You want your son to kill themselves? You want to? What does that do to a parent, especially a parent who's not equipped like you are with knowledge? You know, you're sitting here listening to me. You consume information. I'm not the only thing you consume. You consume information, you're in the know. How many parents aren't? Lost. Completely lost. All of a sudden, you're sitting in front of a, wow, he's a doctor. I mean, look at those degrees on the wall. Surely he knows much more than I do. I don't want to lose my child. Be the worst day in the world for any parent. Surely I'll do anything. I mean, I'm not sure. I'll cut his penis off. It's deeply, deeply evil, and we should tackle it at its root. And, yes, look, it's not all going to be nice. We should acknowledge that somebody, anybody, trying to be a different gender is somebody that you should be very wary of, and you should give a wide berth, the same way you would anybody struggling with a mental health issue. When you are walking up the sidewalk and you see that homeless person, I told you about that time in New York City, I was walking up the sidewalk and there was a dude, a shirtless dude, on a metal trash can. It was a metal trash can. He was using it like a punching bag, sitting there in the middle of the night, just boom, 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 hammering on it. We were with a whole group of dudes. We all crossed the street. You don't need that kind of trouble in your life. A tranny should be treated the exact same way. Somebody you should give a very, very wide, wide berth to, because there's somebody struggling with something mental, something spiritual, and you don't have any idea how that's going to come out. But it helps now that we're finally speaking out. You know, I got this email along these lines. Hey, Jesse, I just saw Caitlyn/Bruce Jenner on a Fox News interview. If she/he came on your show, what would be the pronoun you would use while introducing and conducting the interview? Well, one, I wouldn't interview that person. Two, it's a dude. He's on our side. Great. Still a dude struggling with real mental health issues who needs help. It's not just the children. He needs help. And so, no, I'm not going to run around promoting it. I'm not going to tell you it's okay just because they vote Republican. Well, he wants to keep it out of girls' sports. Great. That's like the bare minimum. Let's stop acknowledging. We do this with things because we try to do the right thing while being nice. We have this infatuation on the right with being nice. Well, I want to do the right thing right up to the point where it might be mean. But here's the truth. You have to be mean sometimes. You have to be mean sometimes. Well, I don't want to be mean. Jesse, I used to be a boy. Now I'm a girl. No, you're not. Well, you have to. No, I don't. No, I do not at all. I do not have to. And you're not a girl. You need to get mental help. And don't ask me to buy into some delusional lie. And don't ask me to pretend like it's okay. It's not okay. You're not okay. Get yourself some help. Professional help. You need that? You want some help? Email the show. I'll help you. We'll find a way to get you some help. But don't you dare sit there and try to emotionally blackmail me into taking part in whatever delusion you're currently in the middle of. No, you're not a boy. No, you're not a girl. Nope, you can't change it. Stop with the nonsense. Stop with the idiocy. Cut the crap. But we have lacked that, and we certainly have lacked that in our politics. Our politicians in the GOP, biggest bunch of friggin' weenies in the world, to get them to speak boldly about things, it's very, very, very difficult. Very difficult. They try to be as bold as they can be, but I don't want to sound like a meanie McMean face. And that doesn't work when you're dealing with social contagions, mental illness, communism. It doesn't work at all. You're going to have to be thought of as mean by some people or you're useless. Period. End of story. Let's talk about Chris and the Chi-Coms next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, is Chris a real person? If he is, why are you so mean to him and talk bad about him? Why do you not let him talk? The things you say to him and about him make you sound like a bully. And I would almost bet that you are. Look, I'm not a bully. All right. I just treat poorly the people who I have power over. All right. I am not a bully. It's just if someone has less power than me, I take advantage of that and make them feel bad about themselves. And it's really a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's super fun with Chris. As far as letting him talk, that's just never going to happen, right? And that's not for me. That's for you. I'm doing you a favor. You should hear his voice. It's terrible. Just absolutely terrible. Hey, Jesse, I love the comments on Wednesday's show about Chinese commandeering rare earth minerals, especially the tangent about them using bribery to open Confucius-focused institutes at universities across the nation. But if they are using the time-honored, rooted in capitalism technique of bribery to advance communism, aren't they tacitly admitting by their actions that capitalism is a better system? His name is Zane. Well, communists admitted that almost from the very, very beginning. Remember, you have to understand this, and I know it sounds weird, but you are interested in a government, a system of government, a country that works and creates prosperity and protection, right? You're interested in a good system of government. The communist is not trying to make something work. He is not trying to make it work. Whenever you tell a communist that this will fail or that will fail, that government can't do this, that this will create poverty, it doesn't make a dent because he's not trying to make something work. He's trying to destroy while seizing power for himself. Making something work could not be further from his mind. It's on your mind because you're a good person who cares about others. Those thoughts never enter the communist's mind ever. He's not interested in that at all. Clear back to the Soviet Union days. Who was it? Was it Khrushchev? It was one of them. Used to talk about, hey, we'll get the capitalists to sell us the rope that they'll hang themselves with. I'm paraphrasing, but that's about what he said. They've always known that the free market creates a better life for people, more wealth for people. China, why do you think China made the transition after Mao? It's one of the main transitions China made. They wanted to stay communist, but it was kind of undeniable that this whole communism, universal communism thing creates a lot of poverty and misery and death. And so what they tried, what they're still trying, is kind of a hybrid model. Oh, no, 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 open your business. No, 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 we want you to do this. We're just going to look into it. We're going to make sure we approve of everything. We're just going to make sure we control some of it. The communists, all of them, they know that free markets create more prosperity. They know that. All of them do. It's not supposed to work. It's not designed to work. They're not selling something that works. What they're really selling, as we've talked about before, is revenge. That Mamdani guy in New York City is the most recent example I've brought up to you when he talks about abolishing private property. Everyone ran to the microphone to say, but that won't work. That won't work. That's not going to work. He knows. It's not designed to work. It's designed to hurt people. It's designed to fulfill the jealousy and envy that fills every Democrat's heart. It's designed to hurt people. When you hear Democrats, when you hear them on the campaign trail at any level, do you hear any modern Democrats trying to sell a plan that will work? It's not in any of them. It's not in any of them at all. They're not trying to sell that at all. They're selling revenge. The communist is selling revenge. Hey, Jesse, strutting around the house like you're... Oh, the subject of this one is the robe. Strutting around the house like you're Julius friggin' Caesar. Be careful, dude. The fam might call the authorities and have you red flagged. Oh, and while you're at it, ditch the Bronco moniker and go for Brondo. Look, I'm a robe guy, and you're going to have to accept it now. If you would step up, be a man or a woman, and wrap yourself in a cozy earth robe one time, you would know that you're now superior to people who don't have one. Oh, and by the way, Chris, and don't shake your head. Don't you? Chris, I want you to ask me something. Ask me what I'm wearing. Chris, it's fine. Ask me what I'm wearing, Chris. Come on. What am I wearing? Oh, I'm glad you asked. These are everyday pants. See, my pants, Chris is probably some sucker wearing blue jeans. I don't know. I didn't look. But my pants, I'm going to take Ab out to dinner when I get home, and I don't have to change my pants. And yet here I sit, and they feel like freaking sweatpants. I'm so comfortable. That's why I'm so happy. Chris, miserable. His pants are probably binding. It's horrible. I'm in cozy earth everyday pants. My life is comfort now. You want up to 40% off all this cozy earth stuff? Yes, ladies, they have all these fancy face creams, and their sheets are the greatest thing ever. I've been sleeping in their sheets forever. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. Be a robe guy. Be a robe girl. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. Yeah, these people, do they sound like they're selling something that works?
I'm sure you've all heard about one more of these tragedies that took place in Minneapolis today. The mayor said it best. This is not a time for thoughts and prayers. These kids were praying. The bullshit we get of like, let's lower our flags. How much more of this before we recognize that sensible gun restrictions have to be out there?
They're never selling something that works. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about a bad church. Let's talk about Western communists and Islam. Next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Did you hear Joy Reid? She's a peach.
As many times as I have been called DEI or an affirmative action baby and all that, you know what I never get? Mad. Because I actually am very much in favor of DEI. I don't take that as an insult because I understand that that means that I'm just damn excellent and innovative. And yeah, I am DEI. I'm bringing diversity and that's bringing something great. You're not insulting me. If you say, oh, you're an affirmative action person that got into Harvard, I'm like, yeah, I got into a Harvard with affirmative action and Yale and Brown and also, you know, Vassar, you know, in the University of Denver.
I admire the honesty. Dear Jesse, my wife and I raised our daughter to be conservative in our blood red part of Missouri. She turned out great. After college, she moved to the Dallas area to work. We went to visit her last month and attended her church. The topic of the sermon was illegal immigration. The pastor claimed that being in our country illegally was basically the same as getting a speeding ticket on the way to church. He tried to point out that both things were minor offenses. I nearly got up and left. I didn't want to embarrass her. She said after the service, he wasn't the normal pastor. I thought of your phrase, feminized Christianity. The weakness of the church is really holding back the conservative movement. What can be done? Love the show. His name is Marty. Okay, so we have talked about how the communists have worked very, very hard and been somewhat successful in infiltrating and co-opting America's churches of every denomination, especially the large corporate churches. Remember, look into your church. Are they part of a large corporation? There are many large church corporations in your church. Maybe you think it's operating independently, may not be operating independently at all. Many of those large corporations are bad, bad news. Same thing in the seminaries. But here is, I want to get more specific because we've talked about that before. I am not a friggin' pastor. I'm certainly not qualified to be one. I don't want to pretend like I am. Okay? I am not that at all. And I am not telling you that your large church is bad at all. I am not saying that. The one I go to would probably be considered large. I don't know if you'd call it a mega church or something like that, but probably be considered at least large. But if you have a big one, a big church, I'm talking full-blown rock band on the stage, lots of butts in the seats. Let's think about this from a business perspective. Set aside your spiritual perspective for a moment from a business perspective. You know what that building costs? You know what that land costs? Now, think about how many people are on staff at the church. Go to the church's website. How many people are on staff? Chris, I'm assuming synagogues have worked the exact same way. This is a business too. I know. Look, I'm not insulting it. I get that. This is a business too. They need butts in the seats in order to pay the rent. Shoot, I'm here in Texas because we don't have state income tax. You know, the government always gets you one way or another. Our property taxes are insane here. Even if your church, the building, the land, even if it's paid for, if you're sitting there on $10 million worth of building and real estate, your property taxes are backbreaking, absolutely backbreaking. And so you want butts in the seats. In fact, you need butts in the seats. You need people showing up. You need people tithing. It's very, 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 very tempting. And many men give into it to take that Bible, close it up, and just be nice. Just be nice. I don't want to offend anybody. I certainly don't want to offend anybody here. I don't want to offend anybody here. You know that that verse, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives like the church, but wives, be submissive to your husbands in all things. It's in the New Testament. You know that verse? Even if you don't go to church, you know that verse. It was a mega church. We went with a friend. His daughter was getting baptized. We went to a mega church, which I'm not going to name, here in the Houston area. And the pastor got up and he was preaching on that verse. It was a dude. That whole verse. And he must have added 20 times, I don't want to offend anybody. This might be offensive. I don't want to offend anybody. And not one time in the 45-minute sermon did he address the wives be submissive to your husbands part. He read it once, never explained it, spent the rest of the time on the husbands with the wives. Why? Big church. I bet you it was $20 million property between the building and the grounds. Big church, big tax bill, big salary. Hey, if I actually read the truth, whew, going to be some woman's going to drag her family out of there. Probably several. Tithe money gone. Then where are we? And this applies to more than the church. This applies very much to politics, to many things. People are craving real. It's not that they're craving mean. They're craving real, honest, right between the eyes. I brought up Donald Trump earlier. I want to bring him up kind of in the same way, but on a different subject. Donald Trump is appealing to people, a political phenom, because he is real. Doesn't mean he's always polite or always right or always saying everything you want to hear. I know he makes you mad time to time. Me too. It's fine. but it's always him, and people love it. People crave it. And there's a unique craving for it right now, because you will find yourself craving something you've been deprived of. You ever taken you ever had a diet of some kind? Maybe a low carb diet is a good example. No more bread, no more potato chips. And I bless you to it, whatever diet, whatever way you want. But how much do you crave a bag of potato chips after about a week? It's human nature. When you have been deprived of something, you crave it badly. There are so many fake people and fake churches and fake politicians and fake this and fake people on the radio and fake this and fake that, that people have a hungering for authenticity, even if they disagree with it. It's one, in my opinion, it's probably the only reason this show has grown, because I am aware that I'm an offensive person. I don't try to be. I'm just naturally rude. I can't help it. I don't try to offend you at all. And I get your emails about how mad I make you so much. And the show continues to blow up. Why? Because people know I'm honest. I'm going to say something at some point in time that is going to offend you terribly. Maybe offend you terribly. Maybe offend you personally, or offend your wife, or offend your state, or your food, or your whatever. I am going to say it. I promise you I will, and I'm not sorry. I am me. Authenticity sells. People want it. And America's churches would do well to remember that. They would do very well to remember that. Look, I've gone through all this. I've gone through it all. America's feminized Christianity, so desperate to be nice to everyone, so desperate to be nice. I just want to be thought of as nice. I'm nice. You're nice. We're nice. Jesus is nice. They ended up losing their minds. Now you have these skinny jeans wearing dorks, pretending to be pastors, telling people that your country should be invaded by barbarian hordes. Freaking ridiculous. I'm out on that. I'm not out on Rough Greens. Rough Greens is authentic. It's authentically the number one dog supplement in America. Why do you think that is? Why do you think Rough Greens starts out as a small company not long ago, and now it's the number one dog supplement in America? Because Dr. Dennis Black, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, who created it, loves dogs. When he created it for his dogs. Hey, my dogs don't get nutrition. They're sick all the time. I want my dogs to live longer. How can I help my dogs? And he did. You know how many veterinarians email me and say, oh my gosh, I recommend it to all my people, all of them. There's Meow Greens. There's Rough Greens. Start sprinkling it on your dog's food or cat's food. You don't have to change out food, but there's no nutrition in that brown food. RoughGreens.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a free jumpstart trial bag. Or call them if you're more of a phone person. 214-ROUGH-DOG. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We still have so much to get to, more than an hour left of fun, so do not fret. And remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, there is currently a cozy relationship between Western communists and Muslims, this guy says. At some point, these two religions will clash and oppose each other. When do you see this occurring? Well, more specifically, it's Islamists. I'm talking about the breed, the brand of Muslim that believes in world domination, world conquest. It's very obvious when you look, if you're being honest with yourself, America, the UK, Germany, France, really Western civilizations that allowed communists to seep in and infiltrate, the communists figured out they had a really, really quality ally, and they needed to bring in as many of them as possible and form a partnership to smash their common enemy, you, the patriotic citizen. That's an alliance. It's an alliance in America. It's an alliance all across Western civilization. It's obvious to anyone paying attention. When do they clash with each other? People, when they do the enemy of my enemy is my friend thing, very, very, very rarely allow themselves to get to that point. They don't allow themselves to plan ahead and think that far ahead. Oftentimes, when it comes time for a clash, the first one to fire that shot wins. China is actually a great example of this. China, after the fall of the dynasties, there was so much political upheaval there. This is before they became communists. There was so much political upheaval. It was warlords and divided up. And finally, Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalists begin to rise as a very viable, very powerful party. The communists, not initially led by Mao, but he eventually led them, so we'll go with Mao. Mao Zedong and the communists, they arose too. And they began to fight each other. This huge clash, killing each other in droves to see who would earn the right to conquer and run China. But in the all-time bad timing awards, WW2 kicks off. And remember, World War II kicked off a long time before your history teacher told you World War II kicked off. It's always treated as the invasion of Poland or something like that. Japan was invading and conquering China in the 30s, early on. Japan was fighting World War II before anyone else was fighting World War II. So Mao and the communists are fighting Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalists. And then, the Imperial Japanese Empire starts to conquer Manchuria, starts to conquer China. After some time, there was an agreement struck. And I don't want to act like it was all hunky-dory and all smiles or anything like that. And I don't want to act like Chiang Kai-shek was excited about this agreement. His hand was essentially forced. The deal was, hey, we have a common enemy here. We communists hate you nationalists. You nationalists hate us communists. I get all that, but if we don't stop fighting each other, the Japanese are going to conquer the entire freaking place and there'll be nothing left for either of us to rule. So let's lay down our swords, stop killing each other, and go kill the Japanese. Okay, wham, bam, deal is done. But Mao Zedong is a crafty individual, as much as I hate that evil demon. Mao Zedong is very crafty. Did he participate in killing the Japanese? Of course he did. He absolutely let Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalists do the brunt of the fighting while he waited and waited and waited and waited while Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalists got weaker and weaker and weaker just from the losses fighting the Japanese. And then the split second the whole thing was wrapping up, in comes Mao Zedong to run Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalists off of China. They went to Taiwan. It was known as Formosa back then. They went to Taiwan, and now China belonged to Mao and you and me. We have to live in a world where China is communist to this day because of that little tale you probably already knew that I just told you. But not everybody is as crafty as Mao. The truth is, in America, in England, the Labour Party in England, they imported all these Islamists because they'll vote for the Labour Party. The Labour Party protects them. And I'm sure the Labour Party thinks that this can go on without end, that they'll always have power. But of course, that's not how it will go at all. Eventually, the Islamists will have so many people in the UK that they'll just fill up the entire government with their own people, not the Labour Party, not the Conservative Party, even though it's not conservative at all, and the Islamists will rule it all. Now, we're way behind on that scale here in America. There are places that are being conquered, like Minneapolis here. There's no question about that. True, Texas has, I mean, there's a lot, but we're way behind where they are in the UK. Eventually, the communists will lose that fight. They will. Because the communists are too stupid. The communists will eventually lose that fight. It's not because they're not as evil. It's not because they're not as vicious. It's because they won't see it coming in time. And then they'll look around and it'll be over. And the whole country will have the Muslim call for prayer. And I don't think that's going to happen in the United States of America. I believe we are going to win. I am not near as confident in Europe at this point in time. And one of the main reasons I'm not near as confident is their lack of guns. We had reports earlier in the day, and I don't want to act like I know all the details on the ground, but there are reports of huge rebellions popping up all over the UK today. But they're unarmed. If we ever have huge rebellions popping up in America, that's going to be a big problem for everybody involved. Over there, military has all the guns. Cops have all the guns. We have guns and chalk, so we're way good here. We have guns and the testosterone to use them. So I think we'll be okay. You know what? I wonder if they ship internationally. I bet they do, Chris. I bet they do. What? Hear me out. If they're fighting for freedom over there, what if we start airdropping or even smuggling in male vitality stacks into the UK? They need all the help they can get. Don't shake your head, Chris. We can do this. 20% increase in their testosterone, in 90 days, they'll be taking back that country. You can have a 20% increase in your testosterone and feel like a new person. You can be full of pep and energy. It's almost inexplicable how good you feel. Your mind, your mood, your workday is better. Your home is better. Your relationships are better. Get a female vitality stack, a male vitality stack from Chalk. Get a subscription and give me 90 days. If you don't feel like a new person, not even a little better, a lot better, cancel your subscription. C-H-O-Q, chalk.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.